Happy Tuesday, boys and girls. My name is Jeffrey Scott Mitchell, and I'm struggling. I'm struggling to understand. And this is truly a thing about understanding. I just want answers. And I'm going to try to stay away from the tendency to provoke when answering these questions. I mean, I really don't care about what people think about me. And to be honest, I really don't care about what people think. Now, that doesn't mean I don't find it interesting. That doesn't mean that I don't find it worthy. That doesn't mean it may or may not trigger me at some level towards a more positive, whatever positive means, emotion, or towards a what we understand as a negative emotion, like anger or jealousy or something. But I really don't care about what people think or think about me. Now, I'm not saying it's insignificant, and I'm not saying it's unimportant. I'm just saying my reaction to it, I understand it. Or better yet, let me just say, well, I guess I may have been, no, at an early age, I still didn't. I would recognize what people thought. I knew I was going to, I would get, for lack of a better word, to make this conversation go flow better. I would get positive and negative criticisms and accolades. But I kind of learned to understand that people have an opinion, and that my opinion or how I felt, well, let's just say how I felt became more and more prominent and more dominant. And until it got to a point where maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, this is something that some people might call a product of maturing. And I don't use the word mature. I don't use a lot of words. Or experience, to where I developed a sense, a strong sense of who I was, what I was, and what I wanted. The last 10 years or so, it's like I really could care less about what people think. I don't want to go into this, but it goes with the NCAA LSU girls thing and the face thing and people posting, you know, oh, when the white girl does it, it's this. When the black girl does it, it's that. And I get that. I get that. And I think we all do, too. We get that. In fact, I know as a black man, when I walk into a room, I'm going to be looked at different than if I was an Asian female. You can't get past that. You can't get past that. And not only do I know that, I can play up on it with body language, the way I walk, the talk, my everything. I can play up on it, and I can take it in any direction I want. But I know when I walk in that room, or I figure, stereotypically, I'm going to be looked at a certain way. And it's not just race. If a 13-year-old boy walks in a room and a 40-year-old man walks in a room, even if they're the same color, they're going to be looked at differently. So not only do I like, well, like might be a strong word, I've learned to use that and play off of it. Hell, it's the only thing I've known all my life. So I've learned to use it as a tool almost. I know how I can walk in a room if I need to, if I'm going into a store and I need to see a manager and I need, like, you know, quote unquote, a little bit upset or I need to get something done, I'm going to keep my straight face. And I'm going to talk deliberately. If I'll go into a room and I want to put everybody at ease, I know how to brighten my eyes, open my smile, and let them know, hey. I use that as a tool. Now, how I am perceived and why I am perceived this way as a black male may or may not be a consequence of media and the way the white man has portrayed me over all these years. And there's definitely evidence that this is true. There's been propaganda. You see propaganda either way about how blacks were determined cocaine rapers and this savages and all that. And in my mind, even that is fair game. And I say fair game because white men invented this place. I don't care what they used or how they did it. The white men created this. Whatever this is, they created it. You can judge how they did it on the backs of who, this or that, but they did it. And how could you expect them, after they created it, to be aware enough to take in and to understand the plight of other people? These people were, I'm not gonna say they were savages, but they were barbarians. These people were like marauders and murderers. And you know, these people were not the most congenial intellectual people that traveled across the globe. You had to have a certain kind of brawn and probably testosterone. So it was white men that went all around and did this. So they created it. Now you can fight the argument, you know, if it's justified, should they have done it? You know, that's a different argument. I'm just saying they did it. So if they built it, naturally, they're gonna center everything towards them. You can't fault them for that. They probably knew no other way. And they probably thought that was the way it should be. They truly believed that. So basically we're playing on their playing field. We're trying to change it. I used to say we're. People are trying to change it. In fact, even white people are trying to change it for whatever reason. And I may think that people are trying to change it a little too much. Ease up on it. You can't, every goddamn commercial you see on TV is a female or a black person or a person of color or a mixed person. They kind of eased up on the transgender and gay lesbian things a little, I believe. But everything is female now. My God, I get it. I get why the DEI, diversity, equity, inclusion industry. You still got white men, I'm just guessing, and this is speculation. You got white men sitting on court boards saying, you know what we're gonna do? We're not gonna change a damn thing, but we're gonna spend X amount of dollars on DEI. How about that? We're gonna spend X amount of dollars on DEI to change the face of our organization. And this industry is like $8 billion. So you got, it's in mass, they're doing it. They're doing it in mass. It's like almost across the board. The issue I have with that is that I don't think it reflects the demographic of the country. The country is still mostly white. And for me to cut on the TV and to see every person on there black, it's unsettling. To me, it's even patronizing. It's like, I don't want this. I'm not a victim. I do not want this. When I walk into a boardroom or a job, I don't want allies or affinity groups coming up to me asking me, do I want to join? Do I need support? Are you okay? Is there anything we can do? I don't want that ultra accommodation. I am not a victim. I do not want to be associated with that. And in casual conversation with people, I get that side look every time I say, that's not my narrative. When they start talking about all the things that white people did this and white people that, and quote unquote, they, who the hell is they? And they this and they that, white people this, and that's not my narrative. And I'll say, that never happened to me. Folks will get mad. Folks will get mad at me. But I'm sure they can see my personality, the energy I bring, that, yeah, it's obvious that you ain't never experienced nothing like this because you are far too open and happy. I was told one time I was too happy to be black. This was decades ago. But now I get it, and it really fits now. And black people, okay, and it's not that, you know, I don't really care about what they think, about what they say. Definitely don't care about what they say. I mean, that's to put it, you know, bluntly. You know, of course, there are consequences. I do care a little more about what they do, whoever they is. They could be anybody. But I'm using they in a stereotypical, quote-unquote, liberal, woke idea, liberal, conservative, we and they. Whoever you think they is. You know, you got one side cheering and so elated that Trump is getting arrested. I'm like, I don't understand that either. I don't understand that. What's the point? What's going to be the outcome? What do we get out of that? What do you get out of that? So what they do or what they say really doesn't matter to me. What we do and what we say does. What we do and what we say does. As far as I'm concerned, the white man done did everything, done did enough. The white race, Caucasian, whatever you want to call it, they have done enough for black people. They've done way, I ain't gonna say way too much, but they've done enough. They've done enough. If you still got issues, you still got problems, I'm not saying these problems don't exist. I'm saying maybe you might want to move to a different part of the country and or learn how to deal with it. And or you're a part of that problem. I'm more concerned. I think the fix isn't going to come from what white people do. It's not going to come from what white people give us. It's not going to come from what they have and what they don't have. It's going to come from what we do and what we have. And that's going to come from possibly a more conservative idea of handle your own. Stop asking for handouts. Get your shit together first. Then go out there. At least have one person in your damn family with a degree. Start there. And the whole burn it down, capitalism doesn't work thing, that's a whole different conversation. Because anything will work. Anything can work if it's utilized the way intended. That's the way to put it. Anything can work if we utilize it the right way. To say capitalism doesn't work without having another avenue or another vehicle to replace it, you're just moaning and groaning. So my thing is, black people, we need to get ourselves together. We need to do that. And the way I'm doing it is I'm living my life. I'm living my life online. I let my family see it. I let everybody see how I'm doing, what I'm doing, what I think, what I feel. I got out of the lecturing and gaslighting or whatever, antagonizing business a few years ago. And I really just started concentrating on me and what I was doing. Kind of dropped off of politics because I realized it kind of doesn't matter because I'm going to do and have and be whatever I want to be regardless of any isms. And in fact, As far as isms go, out here in California, the white people I know love black people more than black people love black people. Black people love the culture. Black people love being black. I don't love being black. I love the black culture. I love the traits or characteristics that I may get from the black culture. I love being portrayed, being seen, and representing a black American male. And I said black American male, not African. Black American male, not Caribbean. Black American male. I don't love being black. I love what it means to be black. I love Jeffrey. That's the bottom. I don't love being black. I love being Jeffrey, who just happens to be black. And Jeffrey, who utilizes or takes advantages or whatever of the stereotypical characteristics of being black. That I love. And I think black people need to start saying that. Instead of, you don't love being, stop loving being black. Start loving your own damn self. Figure out what you want to be. Figure out what you need to do. Figure out what you can do. I take that knee back. Figure out what you can do to get the things that you want. Whatever it is that you want. Me, it's kind of, everybody kind of knows what I like. Pittsburgh, Parliament, travel, my computers, my job, you know, blah, 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 blah. Those are my passions. I've done everything I can to have as many of those passions within my reach or sitting on my lap as I can. And I've succeeded, I believe. Knowledge, internet, resources. I got a nice repository of information in my head. I've traveled, I've learned. That's what I love. Being black ain't got nothing to do with that. Well, it might, but you know what I mean. And I think that's what black people, we need, I don't understand asking white people to do more. What more can they do? There's enough laws, there's enough awareness, there's enough TV. I mean, it's to the point we're preaching to the choir already. Why, and this whole, you know, the LSU girls, that's like, oh my God, are we still getting triggered by stuff like that? Or it could be, it's a game, it's a social media game, it's just fun. Now that part, I may be missing. It may be just, oh, this is just tongue in cheek. But I do see some people getting, they're a little bit more serious about it, and they think it's real. I don't see how that has any impact on me. I don't see how Trump getting indicted or arrested has any impact on me or anybody else. And that's kind of like my real question. Why does what Trump does or doesn't do so important, quote unquote important? Why does it get so much news coverage? Clicks. Probably just clicks and triggering. People have something to wake up in the morning and focus on. I said years ago about Bush, I said, y'all gonna miss George Bush when he gone. Because y'all ain't got nothing to wake up and hate. Y'all ain't got nothing to wake up and be triggered by. And Donald Trump came along and he fueled it. And he played up on it. And he told y'all he was gonna play up on it. And he still won. He beat y'all. So what if Trump gets indicted? I don't want to say y'all. I didn't mean to say that, but I did. Because I ain't one of y'all. I'm not one of them. It's not that I'm, you know, MAGA. It's more I'm just down the middle. I mean, really down the middle. And I might be even leaning conservative. Maybe not Republican, but definitely conservative. I believe there are classes, economic classes, that no matter what you do, people are going to adhere to them. So, I lost my train of thought. I just don't get it. I just don't understand what the point is of all this. You know, maybe wake it up and have something to come together on. Oh, we can all come together because we're going to make fun of the